This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages. And the Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yo, bang, nailed it. Lyricist.
That was amazing.
I know. It's kind of what I do. It's just be amazing, start to finish, top to bottom, left to right, up and down every single day. That's what we do during the four-hour sports talk extravaganza. That is the Rob Brown Show. We want to get your behind up and moving every morning at 6 a.m. Welcome in, my dear friends, family, colleagues, and comrades in arms. I am Rob Brown on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy in charge of this radio program and every radio program that you love anytime, anywhere, any day, any station. He is the great one, Lonzo. What up, Zo? Fair.
I haven't played it in a while.
It has been a minute. It has been a minute.
Cannot wait to get to discuss the CFP today.
Well, hell, let's just jump right in. Why not? We got nothing better to do. I mean, we could go back into the nuances and context of stand-up comedy in contemporary America, or we can talk college football playoff rankings. Which do you prefer, America? It's up to you. We are indeed men of the people.
I just heard Ray whispering from the ether in my headphones.
Stick to sports.
Yes. That's exactly what he sounded like.
Somebody asked me a couple of days ago as we were making the Ray died jokes. They're like, what if one day somebody reaches out and they're like, yo, this is Ray's kid. He actually did die. Would that make me feel bad? I don't know if it would, to be honest. Am I a bad person? I think I might be a bad person. I'd be like, well, tell him we said thanks for the gag. Thanks for the shtick. Thanks for the gimmick.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
We have got a lot to get to today. We have got to get to some more NFL news, notes, and storylines. The whole thing about the suspension of Sir Al-Shaair for the hit on Trevor Lawrence this weekend, it took a left-hand turn I did not expect yesterday. We're going to get to that coming up in a handful of minutes from now. Of course, we spend a little bit more time celebrating the wondrous sporting event that is the NBA Cup, as our quarterfinal field is officially locked in. And we will have, ladies and gentlemen, a new banner being raised by a new team in a new stadium as your reigning, defending, undisputed NBA Cup champions have been eliminated, meaning the quarterfinal cup. Only two teams that made it to the round of eight last year made it to the round of eight this year. We are guaranteed a new champ. And I know one thing is true today, and it is the fact that the great one, Lonzo, is buzzing, vibrating with excitement and anticipation about the NBA in-season cup.
Yeah, as I said, I believe it was last week, this is Golden State's. It's their turn. This is contrived. This is a work. It's Golden State's going to win it.
If you believe that.
We knew the Lakers were going to win last year. Golden State's going to win this year.
If you believe that, then by default, you believe the NBA is rigged. Do you believe the NBA is rigged? You have to believe both. You can't say, well, they rigged the cup, but not because the cup or regular season games. So by default, if you believe the cup is rigged,
here's what you can do as if you're an analytics guy, if you're one of the NBA nerds, you can look at games and go, okay, this team will beat that team. And you can't be 100%, but you can be pretty close to it and figure out what games to make sure this game counts, because you know that team is going to beat that team. So in that way, you can rig it just by looking to know who plays who at what, because
that would work if they weren't in divisions. They're in pods. There are four teams to pods.
Doesn't
right?
matter.
You can't do
it. Doesn't matter.
Unless you said if
there's a block of games and all these games in a row count, then that would be one thing.
But that's not how they do it.
Right. That's my point. It's here and there. So you can look and go, okay, Golden State plays this team here. They're going to beat that team. We'll count that game. Golden State plays this team here. They're gonna beat that. So we're going to count that game.
But there's only three teams. This isn't a tournament where they go, okay, we're going to count the games that Golden State plays against Portland, Utah, and New Orleans, and only those. There are four teams in every pod.
Who's going to win it? Who's going to win the
cup? I have no idea. There's eight quarterfinal teams.
Well,
I very much think the Thunder can win it.
If Golden State wins, then we'll wait till next year, and I'll pick who I think is going to win next year. And if I'm right next year, then that's proof that I'm right.
And if Golden State does not win it?
Well, then I was wrong. I'm wrong all the time. Yeah, this is my theory. This is my working theory, and it will play out. And the only way we'll know the end result, if my theory is correct, is next year or the year after.
Yeah, but see, the problem you create when you go with an unfalsifiable premise, and we'll get to the college football playoffs here in a minute. It absolutely is unfalsifiable, because there is a chance that even if it's not rigged, Golden State just literally actually just wins it. Like, you're creating this thing where you say if A, then B, and there is no draw between the two.
That's why I said we wait till next year, and I pick one next year, and if it happens again, I didn't say this is the end all this year. I said next year. So if I'm right this year, next year, at the beginning of the whole thing, I'll pick who I think it's going to be. And if I'm right again, then that goes to prove that what I'm saying is correct.
The problem is, if you say Golden State wins, therefore it's rigged. That means, and then you say the only way to falsify this is I'll do it again next year. The problem you create is then that is a year where you go around saying, well, I'm not saying it's rigged, but I think it's rigged.
No,
right?
No.
A year of damage.
No, I will say it's rigged for the entire year. I won't say it's not. I just said it's a work, and we'll be able to prove it next year.
The problem I have with this, you know what this is like? This is like when a big-time news outlet publishes a story, and then like a day later, that story is proven incorrect. So they post a retraction, but they, instead of when the story was on page one, they post the retraction on page seven of section B. They're like, oh, our bad. That thing we posted yesterday, completely erroneous. The problem is everybody reads the front page. Nobody's flipping to section B, page seven, to see the retraction. So all these people start to believe this story, and so much it grows legs.
That's a very 1995 analogy, because, I mean, how many papers are actually out there anymore? I am curious.
Okay, fine. The story lands on Google homepage, and then the retraction's on page nine of the results.
I've never been to Google homepage.
You've never been to Google?
I mean, if you're talking about the first page that pops up when you log on to Google, is that the Google homepage?
Yeah. You know, when you go to Google and you Google something, the results page
You said Google homepage. Okay, so what you mean, your Google search.
Okay. Google search primary page.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Got to get it right. Details matter.
That. Your clarification would have been on page 9.
And if I get something wrong, don't worry. I'll correct it Friday at 8:40 a.m. That's how this is working.
Okay. All right.
All right. We'll get back to the NBA Cup later, because I am enjoying it. I don't care. I am enjoying it thoroughly. But we do have to get to, as Lonzo pointed out just mere minutes ago, the college football playoff rankings, which dropped last night to the shock of exactly no one. The Oregon Ducks are the one seed, no doubt about it. The Texas Longhorns checking at number two, no doubt about it. That does not mean that is where those teams will finish, however, because both of those teams will play in their conference championship games this weekend.
And both of them are favored, too, right?
Both of them are favored. Yeah. And Manuel Ward, who is the College Football Playoff Committee chairperson, did talk a little bit about this. I pulled some audio from the interview he did last night on the rankings announcement show, and we will diagnose and break that down coming up a little later in the show. Penn State checks in at three. They are in their conference championship game as well, of course, against the number one team, Oregon Ducks. Notre Dame, who does not play in a conference championship game, are ranked at number four. Remember, the highest spot they can be in, and it does look like the highest spot that they will be in is the 5 seed of the bracket itself, meaning Notre Dame will always play in the first round, but as the 5 seed, there are some advantages that come along with that. We'll talk about that later in the show. Speaking of number 5, in the rankings, not the bracket, in the rankings, that's where you find the Georgia Bulldogs. The Ohio State Buckeyes are number 6. Tennessee at number 7, the highest ranked ACC team, and a team that will be participating in the ACC Conference Championship game against the Clemson Tigers or the SMU Mustangs. They check in at number 8. Indiana, 11-1 out of the Big Ten, is number 9, a spot ahead of the Mountain West Conference Championship game participant, the Boise State Broncos. And here is where the fun and the shenanigans begin. At number 11, the Alabama Crimson Tide. At number 12, the Miami Hurricanes. At number 13, the Ole Miss Rebels. And down at number 14 is where you find the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Now, push pause on that. We're going to circle back around to it before the end of this segment. Let me just finish out your top 25. Arizona State is in the Big 12 Conference Championship game. They are number 15. Iowa State at 16. Clemson falls to 17, down 5 spots. After a loss to South Carolina. BYU, not in the Big 12 championship game, is at number 18. 19 is Mizzou. UNLV, who will square off with Boise State in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, is at number 20. Number 21, Illinois. 22, Syracuse. Number 23, Dion's Colorado Buffaloes. And that is how you have to say it now. You just have to say Dion's Colorado Buffaloes.
No, Coach Prime's.
That's the name of the program.
Coach Prime's Colorado Buffaloes.
Dion's Colorado Buffaloes, number 23.
Coach Prime.
He's not my coach. I don't call him Coach Sweeney, and I don't call him Coach Beamer, despite being friend of the show. They're not my coach. Number 24 is Army. Number 25 is Memphis. So let's circle back around to where the controversy is. Let's start with this great one. Is there, in your opinion, from 1 to 10, is there any controversy in there that you think needs to be addressed? A lot of people have said that Indiana at 11-1 should not be a playoff team. Strength of schedule was pathetic outside of the game against Ohio State, a game in which they got absolutely wrecked.
Penn State's strength of schedule was not great either.
Let's take a look at that real quick. Penn State had on their schedule West Virginia, Bowling Green, Kent State. They did have number 19, Illinois, handed Illinois their first loss of the year. UCLA, USC at Wisconsin, Ohio State, wrapped it up with Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. I don't disagree with you. What you're looking at if you are Penn State boosting up your schedule is you played won a ranked game against Illinois. You played and won a ranked game. It's Illinois and Penn State, I think, were the only two ranked teams
Penn
that
State
this team played.
Only played Illinois and Ohio State, according to what you just said, and they lost to Ohio State.
That's very fair.
So I don't know who they played ranking wise.
It's very fair. So Penn State at number 3, they are in their conference championship game. We'll come to that here in a minute. I don't have an issue with that. There are folks that are saying that Ohio State, the loss to Michigan, an unranked Michigan team, because if we're going down that path, Ohio State has 2 ranked wins. They are at Penn State, which is a big one, if you agree that Penn State is a playoff caliber team. And, of course, the loss to Oregon, a 1-point loss, the closest win Oregon had all year.
Indiana.
And I was coming to that last. And then last, obviously, a blowout win over Indiana. Final score 38-15, but it wasn't that close, to be honest, if you're looking at that. In fact, that Ohio State game is the reason that a lot of people believe that Indiana should not have been included in the top of that playoff bracket. So there's a little controversy between 1 and 10, but we all know what the controversy is that impacts those of you listening around here. Now, Clemson falls 5 spots down to number 17. There's not a lot of controversy here. You lost another game. You got three losses out of the ACC.
I guess it's mostly Clemson fans online. They're upset that Ohio State only fell to 6, and they want to know why Clemson fell so far. They weren't ranked that high in the first place, and strength of schedule does come into play. And also the fact, you play in the ACC. You don't play in the SEC. You don't play in the Big Ten. That is a strike against you.
Well, and again,
you tried to get out. You just couldn't get out.
I mean, would make the point that, and I've said this before, playing in the Big Ten is not in and of itself a distinguisher. It's just not. It's not that good of a conference. It's a top, there are four teams in the Big Ten. But if you're a team like Ohio State, you play three of them. And by the way, if you're making the argument that Indiana is not actually a playoff team and they're really not that good, they just play one of the weakest schedules in America, then you would say there's three teams in the Big Ten. Now, you got Illinois floating around in there. That's been a top 25 team off and on, you know, questions about Indiana. But what I will say is Ohio State played three 1-2 ranked games. They're only lost by a point to number one.
Unless my math is wrong, which could be there are five Big Ten teams in the top 25.
Well, there are now. Snuck in at the end there. But we'll circle back around.
I mean, you said there's only, and there is more.
Here's what it comes down to for Clemson. You were sitting at 12. You lost your last game to your rival at home. It doesn't matter. The good news for Clemson is, because this team just refuses to die, the good news for Clemson is you win the ACC title game, you're in. You have an auto, you earned an auto bid. You and Miami stinking the place up and being one of the worst defenses of any playoff contender, earned a road. You earned a path. Win against SMU this Saturday night in Charlotte, North Carolina. By the way, I will be at that game covering it live. So follow me across the social media handles at the Rob Brown Show. I will get there pregame and give you whatever I see from the press box. I will be there. I will live tweet and post throughout the game. And then I will be in the postgame press conferences as well to hear what gets said, win or lose, for the Clemson Tigers. Beat SMU, you're in. Now, you may be going in as the 12 seed, but in is in. Right? It's better than some other schools. South Carolina, very envious right now of Clemson. Why wouldn't you be? Win and in. I think South Carolina would take that deal right now, right? So, not a lot of controversy as far as I am concerned around Clemson, because look, you dropped five spots. Ohio State only dropped four, but they stayed inside the top six. Why Clemson such a drop? Well, three losses versus a pair of them. Three losses in the ACC. And I've been told this should not be a shock to most of you. The playoff committee does not view the ACC with any level of respect. They just don't. Whether they should or not, that's objective. It is up to you. A lot of folks out there believe the ACC does not deserve any respect as a conference. It's not that good of a conference, and it's hard to push back against that. There's SMU, there's Miami, there's Clemson. There's not really anything else in that conference that you look at and you go, that's a threat. Had Florida State lived up to expectations, then I think the ACC would have had a better shot at getting more teams in. Now, this is where things get interesting. If SMU loses to Clemson in a phenomenal football game, but let's say they lose by 1 or 2 points, right? If they lose the way Ohio State lost to Oregon, you know, 30, 33, 32, 35, 34, somewhere in that range. Would the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, who said last night, Manuel Ward said last night on ESPN during the show, he said, if your team is not playing in a conference championship game, you can't change. You can't improve. He said that, right? You can't go up there because there's no more data points to evaluate where you are. Effectively saying, only teams that win conference championship games can improve their standing. Nobody else really can. The question mark is, how far would a non-conference champion fall? And the reason is because SMU could still theoretically lose that game and get in. And if they do, it bumps Bama. But Bama being 11 and Miami being 12 ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina, that is where a lot of us went, bang, there it is. There's the conspiracy. There's the controversy. Let's talk about it when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. So we're talking college football playoff rankings right out of the gate. I suspect we are going to be spending quite a bit of time on this one today. South Carolina checks in 14, a spot behind Ole Miss at 13, two spots behind Miami at number 12, and Alabama at number 11. The College Football Playoff Committee did themselves no favors in trying to shake the accusations that they will fight to find a way to include the Alabama Crimson Tide regardless of scenario. And I'll be honest with you here. I understand hanging on to that conspiracy. I am one of the people that is in on that conspiracy, and here is why. When I look at Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, the reason South Carolina checks in last, or at least the reason that's going to be given to you, is head-to-head games matter, and Alabama and Ole Miss both beat South Carolina. You can drum on and on all that you want about South Carolina playing better football than Ole Miss and Alabama right now. And I agree with you. They 100,000% are. I think if you run those two games right now, I'd pick South Carolina to win both of them. Okay? I'd pick South Carolina to win both. But there is a question mark about season-long results versus who's the hottest team at the end of the year. There is a question mark, because if you say, well, they're the best team now, so they deserve to go in now, then what you're saying is, I should start the season late, right? Like, if I'm a college football coach, games 1, 2, and 3, I really shouldn't throw everything I got. I should go half speed. And if I go half speed and I lose a game, who cares, as long as I finish up strong, right? So head-to-head games have to matter, and that's why Ole Miss and Alabama are ahead. The controversy to me in this spot was avoided by South Carolina, or excuse me, by the committee, courtesy of those two heads-up wins by Alabama and Ole Miss over South Carolina. That, whether you agree with them or not, they have that bullet in the gun, and they are going to use that bullet when you guys go on and on about how South Carolina is the hottest team now and they deserve a shot. They're going to go, well, it is a season of football, and we have got to take into consideration the whole season, and you lost to both those teams. That isn't where the controversy in this lies. The controversy in this lies, and I was on BetMGM tonight, last night, with Ryan Horvath and Brad Evans, and we talked a little bit about this because I went on at 8 o'clock after the playoff rankings were revealed. I asked the question last night. I'll ask the question of you guys now. Can anyone at all, anywhere, period, give me a reason why Miami, with that loss to Syracuse, they fall to 10-2 on the season. Can anyone, anywhere, give me a reason why it is that Miami goes behind Alabama but ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina? You can't argue it's because they're playing their best football, Alabama. They got blown the hell out on the road at Oklahoma. You know, the same Oklahoma team that South Carolina went to Norman and beat the brakes off of a few weeks back. Alabama put 3 on the board against that Oklahoma team out in Norman. So you can't argue that it's because Alabama's playing better football right now. They're just not. You can't argue it's about the record because they have the same record as Ole Miss and South Carolina. It makes no sense. There is no train of thought. And I'm a little frustrated, to keep it a buck with you, that Reese Davis and the gang didn't ask Manuel Ward about this directly last night, except for one spot where they only asked, why it was that Alabama was 11 and Miami was 12. They didn't ask why Alabama was 11, Miami 12, and then Ole Miss and South Carolina were behind Miami. They just asked why Alabama and Miami. Here's what Manuel Ward said. Like, okay.
What did the politician just say?
Like, okay, yeah, dude.
I mean,
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I said to Brad and Ryan last night. I'm like, tell me right now, because they were on the air, obviously, when this show dropped, so they didn't get a chance to listen and react to the interview that Reese did with Manuel Ward directly. I did. I was watching it when it happened, and I swear to you, I was like, dude, you know what he is? And for the record, it's exactly what he is. Manuel Ward's job as the chairman of that committee is to go on television and make that committee look as good as possible, right? Nobody that's not trying to self-sabotage is going to go on television and be like, hey, you know this committee that I'm the chairman of? You know this committee that I'm in charge of? You know this committee whose meetings I run and whose decisions I have to attach my signature to? This committee sucks. This committee screwed up a lot. There's like one place in time that that happens, and that's on Capitol Hill when a representative of one party gets onto a committee that is largely comprised of the members of the other party. But that's it, right? It shouldn't happen with this. But it was the most politician group of answers that I've ever heard. And I got more audio from the interview that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show, because we're going to be talking about this, I assume, primarily throughout the entire four-hour extravaganza today. But I listened to that, and I'm like, somebody ask about Ole Miss in South Carolina. Because everything you just said about Alabama is more true about South Carolina than it is about Alabama. South Carolina has three losses. Two of those losses came against teams that are inside the top 13. Their other loss comes to a team that just fell out of the top 25. This week, just fell out of the top 25 in LSU. Like, just fell out. So when I look at that, and then I look at Alabama's losses, a loss to Vanderbilt. Yeah, it's the best Vanderbilt team of all time. Sure, I agree with that. Best Vandy team of all time. Do you know what Vanderbilt's final record was? 6-6. 5-1 team in the SEC. It's the best Vanderbilt team ever. It's still a very mid team, with all due respect to Clark Lee and Diego Pavia, two of my favorite people in college football right now. It ain't a great loss. Then you lost to Tennessee. That's the best loss they have. Then you lost to Oklahoma. And not just a loss at unranked Oklahoma, but you got your asses whipped by Oklahoma. 24-3. You put up 3 points on the board. That's it. So everything that you just said about Alabama is more true about South Carolina. Now, I'm not making the argument, at least not right now. I'm not making the argument that South Carolina should have been ranked ahead of Alabama. I'm making the argument that either Miami should have been ranked ahead of Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, or they should have been ranked behind Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. They shouldn't be in the middle. What's the justification for that? And I love that Reese, and again, I bought in last year because ESPN does have the rights to the college football playoff television set of games. I did buy into the conspiracy last year, and I'm not fully out of it yet, to keep it a buck, that ESPN has investment in getting the brands in. Because it is, whether we like it or not, this should not matter. It should not be relevant, but it is. Somebody went and looked at the Nielsen ratings over the past, I think, 5 or 7 years. I don't remember the chart. I should have saved it. It's my bad. I didn't. This is on me. I saw it in passing while I was, like, riding around town doing stuff with the wife. Somebody went and they pulled the Nielsen ratings, and something like, great one, 70% of all college football viewership over the past half a decade, 70% of the eyeballs that watched a college football game watched one of 8 teams. It was like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas. I don't remember who the other ones are, but it was like 7 or 8 teams that got like 70% of the eyeballs on their games.
So what you're saying is good teams have people watch them?
What I'm saying is the brands have people watch them. It doesn't matter.
But why do they watch them? Because they're good. If they're bad, they're not watching them.
I don't necessarily disagree. Some of those teams have had some bad seasons. I'm sure that's fine. But is that because that there's a strong correlation between those brands and the teams that are in? I'm not saying that they're not good teams. But right now, is Alabama like certifiably better than Miami? Miami's got a very weak defense. I don't disagree. Alabama just went and put 3 points on the board at Oklahoma. Is that a team you would say is certainly better than Miami? A team that ended up with a better record, a team that was not eliminated from conference contention until literally the very last second of the very last game. But even if you say, yes, Alabama's better than Miami. Hang on, let me finish my question. Even if you say, yes, Alabama's better than Miami, that's fine. Then why are Ole Miss and South Carolina not better than Miami? There's no justifiable reason, which is why people say you massage that to not insult Miami, a national brand, but make sure that Alabama's got, this is not a guarantee, because if Clemson and Clemson, one of the spots is eaten by a Big 12 champ, and if Clemson beats SMU, they get a spot as well. It feels to me as if this is just a way to make sure Alabama's in the best possible spot to get there. Is there any argument against that?
There is, but we don't have time. We got to go to break.
Well, good thing. We're not done. We're coming back to it. Because this is a question that got asked a lot last night, and I'd like to hear more about it. And we will talk about it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues here on the Fan Upstate. Make sure you follow us on our social media feeds at the Fan Upstate, at the Rob Brown Show, across Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, at Lonzo. What did I just say?
You said Twitter.
Sometimes.
Yeah, too much sleep is a problem for you.
Because, dude, I went to sleep at like 9:30 last night.
But you're overly hyped, and you are reaching volumes that you haven't reached. I mean, the DBs are up there so much compared to what they've been, and probably the last year.
I was out. When I say out, I mean with a capital O. I did my hit on BetMGM tonight at 8 o'clock. I was in pajamas at 8:30. I was in the bed at 8:45. I was watching all the college basketball I could get my eyeballs on last night. And then I crashed at like 9:30. The wife came to bed at like 10. She's like, wow, you're out early. I was like, what time is it? I just fell asleep. She's like, no, dog, I've heard you snoring for like half an hour. It's 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, all right, my bad. Let me go back to, because I cut off Zoe because I didn't realize how close we were to the break. Zoe, we do have a phone call to get to, and we will hear in just a minute. My man Neil's hanging on.
Let me cut you off like you cut me off. I don't remember. So let's just go to, I mean, that was so long ago. Let's just go to the phone call.
Well then.
And by the way, that's probably not his name because the volume that I'm talking about, I tried, I had him spell it 3 or 4 times. So I don't know for sure what his name is. I got the last part, the E-A-L-E.
Okay.
And so we should just go and let him tell us what his name is.
We think it might be Neil hanging on the phone lines to talk a little college football playoff rankings. Is it Neil? Is that correct? Well, who do we have on?
Incorrect.
Who we got?
It's Dale.
Dale, there we go. Dale, welcome to the show, big dog. Good to have you back, brother.
It's really loud in here, Dale. I can't. I'm sorry, dude. I tried really hard.
You're trying to get that Wolverine out of your ear. I gotta take that shot.
If whatever it is, I'm gonna go with someone who had too much sleep and they're just extremely loud. That's what I'm gonna go.
That might be it. Dale, what you got for us, big fella?
He's well rested. Shoot, I wish I were. Anyway, let's talk about this CFP ranking, especially from 11 through 14. At what point in time does body of work come into play? Okay? If you look at the road and home record of those schools, Alabama has lost more games on the road than they have won. South Carolina has won more games on the road. I believe their record on the road was 4-1 and 5-2 at home. As for Alabama, who was 7-0 at home and 2-3 on the road. Now, correct me if I'm mistaken, but I'm pretty sure a team that's ranked 11th or 12th in the college football playoff is going to be on the road.
That is correct.
Okay, so I already don't like Alabama's chances. Okay. How they could put Miami in front of or behind them, you're right. That's flabbergasting. The only thing I can think of is got to be schedule. But then if you put strength of schedule on the play, South Carolina's strength of schedule was far greater than Alabama.
Sure. I don't disagree.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Dale, I think you've got valid points, and I would even go so far as to say, like, the knock against Miami is, well, they're not that good defensively. Okay, they're still a football team, and if they have built a football team to be able to score so many points that it doesn't matter if they give up 40 because they're scoring 45 every week, I don't really have an issue with a two-loss Miami team being ahead of Alabama. What I have an issue with is a two-loss Miami team being ahead of Alabama or behind Alabama, but not behind Ole Miss and South Carolina as well. The fact that you wedged Miami in the middle makes it appear, Whether I'm right or not, it makes it appear that the goal was to get Alabama as close to that final at-large bid. Because I think right now there's only one left, with the Big 12 champ coming from outside the top 12 and the possibility of Clemson winning the ACC and jumping in there. And oh, by the way, if UNLV beats Boise, they get one too. There's the possibility that it doesn't matter, that nobody from 11 down is getting in. But if there's only one bid, Alabama's going to get it. If there's two bids, Alabama and Miami are going to get it, which leads me back to what is the process that you utilize that allowed you to say Miami's behind Alabama, but they are ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina. When South Carolina, yeah, they lost to Bama and Ole Miss, but they had a far more difficult schedule and have accomplished more in the past 6 weeks than either of those teams have. And Ole Miss and Alabama are virtually identical in every other way. Miami either needs to be at 11 ahead of number 12 Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina, or they need to be dropped back to number 14 with Ole Miss and South Carolina sliding up. There's no rationale for Miami to just be dropped in the middle behind Alabama other than we're finagling a way to get Bama in which case the committee has just basically said, if you ain't a blue blood, you better go undefeated because there's no other way in for you.
Well, I agree with that because obviously, the committee showed favoritism towards the head-to-head and not so much the strength of schedule, which kind of, like, blew my mind because normally you want the teams that have played the tougher schedule and are proven to get in there. What was the knock on Florida State last year? Their strength of schedule was, and then, you know, the quarterback at the end didn't help their case.
Which, by the way, if your quarterback going down doesn't help your case, then don't we wipe the LSU record off the books for South Carolina? Because Lenora Sellers, who was balling the hell out in the first half, then goes down to injury, tried to come back in the second half, couldn't pull it off. If the committee has already set the precedent that what we think your quarterback is capable of impacts our thoughts on the team, then the LSU loss, a last second, last possession, last points loss, should not be a big knock against South Carolina. But put that aside for just a minute. I am looking at everything else, all things compiled. South Carolina obviously had a stronger strength of schedule than Miami. I would argue it was a stronger strength of schedule top to bottom than Ole Miss and Alabama. Listen, Dale, I am fine if they want to say that the head-to-head is the most important thing. I'm good with that. Let's be consistent about that, though. And if we're looking at strength of schedule, I don't care what metric you look at. Strength of schedule, head-to-head, eye test, whatever. There's no world that Miami goes behind Alabama but ahead of Ole Miss. Those two teams are identical. There's no reason for it, and that is why I circle back around to, I just don't trust the College Football Playoff Selection Committee as it is built today because they make these decisions that don't seem to have any justification behind them, and the only thing I have left to assume is you're protecting the brand. And if your goal is protect the brand, then your goal is not get the 12 best teams in. And if your goal isn't get the 12 best teams in, then why do I respect the national championship process?
Well, I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. The strength of schedule thing is the thing that has me the most confused right now, because you look at the strength of schedule, and I believe South Carolina's scheduling was like 8th in the nation, and the amount of top 25 teams that they had, one was like 4, and I think Alabama only had the one, which was Georgia.
The only one they beat, Alabama beat Georgia, obviously, but they lost to Vanderbilt. They were not ranked top 25 yet. They would get in there the week after that. They lost to number 11 Tennessee. They beat Missouri, beat the brakes off of Missouri, and they beat LSU, which started the LSU slide. LSU was number 15 at the time. It wasn't an awful schedule for Alabama, and the College Football Playoff Committee chairman, Manuel Ward, said that last night on ESPN. He was like, look, Alabama did more against more than Miami did, and that's why we put them there. And that's all well and good, but if that is the argument, then South Carolina's got to be in the back pocket of Alabama. You want to put Alabama ahead of South Carolina because they won the head-to-head. I'm fine with that. I can't push back against that. That is objectively reality, what happened. But if the argument is Bama did more against more ranked teams to go ahead of Miami, well, so the hell did South Carolina, and they have the same record as Alabama and lost to them by 2 points. There is no world in which those four teams in that order, Dale, make any sense at all, which is why the conspiracy theories still float this morning.
I agree with you, and I think we need to get that sounder by Lonzo with the conspiracy. We need to start playing that all day today.
Dale, appreciate the phone call, brother. Thanks for checking in. You can get on the phone lines as well at 844-FAN-FONE. That's 844-326-3663. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. I want your calls, your reactions. What did you think after those rankings got dropped last night? South Carolina fans, do you feel you caught the shaft? Do you feel like this is fair? Do you think that they got it wrong? Do you understand why they seated you where they seated you? I'm looking specifically, Gamecock fans, from your reactions this morning. I do have some sound from Shane Beamer from yesterday that we will get to coming up in a little while. And I will remind you that as of right now, we are slated to be joined by Shane Beamer at the end of sometime middle to end of next week. We tried to get him on this week. National Signing Day coming up, obviously, in the midst of the recruiting trail. He did go, I'm going to say this, he did go on Feinbaum yesterday. So I'm a little hurt, Shane. You had time for Paul Feinbaum, but not for Rob Brown. That's a little offensive.
Well, Feinbaum has a little bigger audience.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ears.
And he was, well, I didn't. I said little. I said little. His ears are a lot bigger. Maybe he was doing some last minute rallying.
He was. He absolutely was.
A politicking some.
For the record, yes. I'm not yeah. actually mad at Shane Beamer. All right. Now I will say this. I mean, maybe Paul. Excuse me. Maybe Shane. Maybe if you had come on this show instead of Paul, maybe we could have put your plea in front of the right ears. I mean, who the hell's listening to that guy, right? Like, he could have come on our show. Maybe would have got you in the right place. Either way, Shane-O is expected to join the show towards the end of next week. Once I get that day and time selected, I will let you know, and I will tell you that.
We'll know everything by then, right?
So we will.
So we'll know what bowl they're going to.
No, I'm going to tell you. I was going to say, I'm going to tell you right now. You're not going to the playoffs. 0% chance. Yeah. There is no. Emmanuel Ward said yesterday on the show. In fact, we've got enough time. I'll go ahead and run this now. But he said yesterday on the. Actually, you know what? It's a long clip, so I'm going to save it for coming up in the next hour. But Emmanuel Ward, the CFB committee chair, last night said, basically, if you're not playing this weekend, you can't improve your seating. Reese Davis asked him directly and specifically. First, he tried to politic his way out of answering it. And the one thing that I applaud, I'm a big Reese Davis guy. I love Reese. I think Reese does a great job. But I also think Reese Davis is a company man. I think he totes the line. I will give him credit for one thing last night. And the one thing I'm going to give him credit for last night, is that Reese kind of pressed Manuel Ward on what about the teams that are right there on the bubble outside looking in. Is there any way for those rankings to change? And Manuel Ward was obligated to effectively say no. If you're not playing for a conference championship game this year, you cannot get better. So if you are on the outside looking in, which is definitely South Carolina, is definitely Ole Miss, effectively the only two teams this has any implication on is Miami and Alabama. So the opposite side of that coin is what is going to matter, which is, if you can't move by not competing in a conference championship game, how far down can a team that loses its conference championship game actually drop? And really, there's two teams that matters for: Boise State and SMU. If SMU, because Oregon's in the Big Ten championship game.
See, it matters for Clemson, because if Clemson loses, they're out.
Here's the thing. Clemson's already out unless they lose, right? Here's the reality. If Clemson gets in, it's because they won the ACC title, not because of their rank. They just got one of the auto bids, right? If SMU loses this game, they're not necessarily out.
If you can't move up, then that means you can't move out. That's the part that I don't get.
No.
So he said that you can't improve if you don't play.
Correct.
But he didn't say that you can't. It can't hurt you if you lose it, right?
He did not say that. That's my question, is if you play in, if you're in the top 12, because if you're outside the top 12, of which there are three teams, Clemson, UNLV, Arizona State, and Iowa State, the two Big 12 teams, the Mountain West team that's not Boise State, and the ACC team that's not SMU. If Boise State loses the Mountain West, they're gone. There's no question in my mind. They will be out because they'll drop one spot behind Alabama for sure, maybe two behind Miami. SMU's the question from number 8. If they lose, and this is a question I've been asking you guys for like 4 weeks now, right? 4 weeks. I've been setting up this exact scenario without knowing it was going to directly impact one of the teams that we cover in Clemson. But if you're SMU and you're at number 8, and you lose this game to Clemson, and you don't get the doors blown off, it's, 28-27, 35-34, something in that range. If it's a good game, close game, you lose by a point or two, would they drop you behind Alabama? Because if the answer's no, SMU might be the 12 seed, and Bama doesn't get in anyway. But if SMU loses to Clemson, close game, tight game, and they drop behind Alabama, I will become even more convicted that the goal was to get Bama in, no matter what it takes. It's the biggest brand. Whether it stays this way or not is irrelevant. Right now, today, the Alabama Crimson Tide are the biggest brand in college football. Despite the last 2 years, they're the biggest brand in college football. And if SMU loses this game and drops behind them, you can go, wait a minute, Rob, ACC champ, not that impressive, ACC champ, who cares? Okay, but the last game that they lost was to a top 17 team in a neutral site in an ACC championship game that they didn't have to play in. So if they lose that and drop behind Bama, who was 9-3 and did not make a conference championship game, I would make the argument that at that point, you could very clearly say the goal was to get Bama in. If they get the doors blown off of them, different story. But he said, you can't improve if you're not playing in a conference championship game. That's not the question I have. The question I have is, how far can you drop by competing in and losing your conference championship game? That is maybe the most interesting thing to come out of these conference championship games this weekend, and we will talk more about that. Next segment, Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Rob Inario joins us at 7:20 to tell you about the Elio Santa Toy Drive that we've got firing up tomorrow and Friday down at the Well. Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Channel at 7:40. Lonzo wowing you with a sports flash now.
A much quieter, I mean.
What?
Dude. Last night, an unranked Clemson men's basketball team upset number 4 Kentucky 70-66, earning the ACC's lone victory so far in the ACC-SEC Challenge. The Tigers have 4 scorers in double digits, led by Jaden Zachary with 13, Chauncey Wiggins with a dozen, and Ian Shefflin with 11. The Gamecock men's basketball team knocked off Boston College 73-51 last night also on the road, improving to 5-3 on the year. Colin Murray-Boyles had 16 points and 14 boards to lead the team in both categories, while Nick Pringle added 11 points. Tune in tonight, 6:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles. It's Florida versus FGCU, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.